Okay. Before I begin, I would actually say again, I've done all this using TechWorks for the first time, and I'm quite impressed. But I want Alt Tech added to it, please. Okay. So, what am I going to say? A little history. I'm not going to give you all my anecdotes about running, no, not even running tech, running, sending tech files off to be teched and printed in Vancouver when I was in London, things like that, but you've heard it all before. I'll try to be as brief as possible, and as I'll explain later, I have other people here to thank for not having to repeat things they've said. My main, when I talk about LaTeX here, it will become clear I'm really talking about the language, the thing that William's just been saying is, in some sense, at the center of his work. So I'll be looking at what it is, how it's used these days, and finally the predictions, which I left out of the title that was just up there, but was what you will come for, I'm sure. So, the history won't have any dates, so I'm not going to quiz you on it. It's not that sort of history. Also, it doesn't have the personal anecdotes, which I'd love to spend my time talking about. All your reputations are safe. But you'll know who you are. Okay, so going back to the Stanford Tech Project, which some people in the audience claim to be representatives of, they did lots of things. I'm not a historian. I wasn't around at the time, so I'm really, taking reports from many people who know about their work in many different directions. And so that was the things we're most interested in, things directly related to tech. But literate programming was certainly, as far as the computer science community as a whole is concerned, was very closely to the development of tech and so on. Have I got a problem? Should I be? Okay. So what was what th this is my assessment of the legacy. I'm not going to try and assess their work because again, I don't have the skills for that, either historical or as a professional computing person or typographer or anything. It's certainly true that this work has been very fundamental, influential. Wherever I move in the document processing, document engineering world, typically the talk will start with a reference back to either tech or if it's about fonts to Metafont and so on. Lots and lots of good, solid, basic computer science with the setting up good models like gluon penalties and so on, and the algorithms to go with them that were certainly absolutely stupendous at the time, given the computing equipment around then, and are still, well, in some sense, in some cases, all there is, not just the best there is. But the thing I'm going to concentrate more on is the fact that for this, especially for this math stuff, I'll talk about other aspects of the language. Plain Tech, in particular, introduced something that's over the 20 years, 30 years? I can't do arithmetic. Must be 30 years now, mustn't it? Yes, at least. Has become something that a whole, well, two generations now of math students and PhD students and now.
Use the microphone.
Well, I'm trying to, but I'm trying to look at that and at you at the same time. Sorry. Isn't my louse loud enough then? Okay. I was in the middle of a sentence then. Anyway, whatever I was saying, you can complete. Yeah. Yeah, as I say, plain tech, a large amount of plain tech, if you actually look at the code, is actually introducing mathematical language and telling tech what to do with it, basically. So which of these legacies do we think must be the most enduring? That's a rhetorical question. No position to answer it. And you may well know of other important legacies as well of that project. I think I have quite a lot of evidence that probably C is the one that actually directly affects. Okay, a lot of people are processing things using tech, but majority of them don't really know what's happening and don't really mind as long as it looks nice. And more, it may be that they're not actually processed by tech, it might be going through some other process. But they really cannot live in their professional lives. And for some of them, the mathematicians, that's all they have is a professional life. So that really does affect a lot of their ways of thinking, almost, even, I would say. Then LaTeX came along. Obviously, LaTeX started a bit after tech, but it was really a lot of the things in Tech 82 were developed because Leslie needed it. Things like that you'll find in the notes. Then it's redeveloped, and it's being redeveloped again, and will that go on forever? These are all utterly compatible, and, well, as much as possible, as much as anybody's noticed that, utterly compatible anyway. So we're not abandoning the original language by any means. And it's become easier to use. That's a lot of the reason it's become easier to use isn't due to what the project team itself did. It's because all the package writers and so on have made lots of things that people wanted to do easy to do. And so that in that sense, they're using the fact that LaTeX is now, since LaTeX 2e, very easy to extend. We've already heard if you try to actually adapt it or have incompatible extensions, you're in problems. But that's just a fact of the universe about languages like that. And, of course, in extending the functionality, you do a lot of extending to the language. But the one good thing about LaTeX is it Leslie set up standards for the syntax so that whatever you were trying to do, the details of using curly braces and square braces and so on stayed the same, except, obviously, there are exceptions to that where you have a specialized vocabulary for something like the picture environment or in AMS math for things to do with arrows and so on. But I would say the major, perhaps, extension of Leslie's language has been the addition of being able to specify things by key-val pair, something equals something. Although, I mean, the ideas for that were actually around before the rest of the world started using something equals something, so we imported that back into LaTeX. So, again, very influential. I would say that things like LaTeX and, in fact, Tech Info and so on actually were influential in the idea of what XML should be and should do. There are lots of other factors that influence the decision to go to XML from HTML, but the people doing it were definitely influenced by the fact that LaTeX type structured documents work well. We still got some plain tech hackers around, haven't we? I won't dwell too long on that, but I mean, a lot of people by working on LaTeX, and I'm sure other things in particular context, obviously, have found out an enormous amount about what tech does and what it could do but doesn't quite, and what it really isn't set up to do at all, and found ways around things. And now coming back to the language again for this math stuff. When I say math stuff, I don't want to confine that at all. It's really, I would say, anything that uses non-textual but character-based information. So I don't want to go too far away and talk about graphics and diagrams, because that's another area. A lot of people would like to bring them closer together, but that's another talk. And this is something I'm, this last statement about the influence is something I can personally vouch for, having been involved first of all, I got involved in this in efforts to stop all SGL math TDs from killing them off at birth, if at all possible. That's back 20 odd years ago. And well, an entirely different lecture. All the things that were happening back then in the late 80s, early 90s, are actually coming together again now with MathML 3. But all the people working on all those have been heavily influenced by their own petty obsessions, but also very much by LASIK. The language. So I'm not going to try to answer that one at all. That's, again, just asking the same questions. But I am quite interested in what's going to happen to this thing I'm calling LaTeX, the language. A lot of what I say is mostly aimed at the language for the math stuff. But there is also a certain amount of idea that actually LaTeX as a language for structured documents is actually rather nice for people as well. So it doesn't. So the remarks don't. And this again is based on part of what William was saying. He wants to make LaTeX language the centre of the universe. Other people want to make this new form of PDF, which sounds very exciting. And of course, most of the world wants XML to be the source of all information and documents. I'm not going to take part in any of those controversies. Okay, how brief was my history lesson? Not too bad. The rest of what I'm saying is going to be much shorter, because I'm not going to repeat the sort of things that Ross has in particular said, nor explain, because Hans has already done so, that with LuaTeX we've actually got something that is going to be used in radically different ways from tech, and possibly even support very different models of document processing. And I think that's important. William, as I've mentioned him several times already, the original plan was to put him on after me, and I said, no, that just won't do. He has to go first, because he's going to give half my talk for me. Okay, so I should add, and I also want you to think about every talk you've been to here and think where LaTeX, the language, was mentioned, and whether it was mentioned in context other than simply processing with tech to produce beautiful documents. So what is this language? Well, it's defined, but unfortunately it's multiply defined. Everybody in the world is defining it. And the reason why I say that is we have LaTeX absorbed by so many different pieces of software, and each of those people has in fact defined a subset of LaTeX and its syntax, which they will translate. So in that sense, but there's a lot of evidence that in the maths area anyway, they have a lot in common, but I'm sure they can't all be identical. But I hope they just aren't. I just hope there aren't any major conflicts. But And all this is happening because it's never had a formal specification. I mean, obviously you can't formally specify, and nobody would want to, the whole of LaTeX, but as William was saying, to have this idea of things he calls profiles or something like that being well-defined, I think will help people when they're sort of setting out to say, well, do I want to use this person's converter or that person's converter? We have a language to speak about things in. I'm going to make rash statements like that. I'm not even sure whether that one can't go up to two. I mean, you know, how many mathematicians are there in India and China combined? I don't know. It's probably these days, maths people everywhere, students, so often at undergraduate level even, are just, you know, LaTeX is what we speak. What are they using it for? Well, it's no doubt that a lot of them are using it to produce beautiful bits of, especially of mathematical type setting, but lots of other things. Going back a bit into the history, LTL, LaTeX, the language, especially for the math stuff, has been extended, and in particular, I mean, one thinks of the AMS math as the prime example, but there are other specialised packages for different types of notations and things. Not just actually strictly within maths itself, but all sorts of technical subjects. But what I'm been only really, I mean, I'm sure it happened a long time ago. It's only really realised is that it is so deeply embedded in the culture of many technical communities. This is the language we speak, at least it's certainly the language we write. One of Don's original intentions when he started the language was it would be pretty much what mathematicians speak. And it's interesting because now that LaTeX and things have moved away from nasty embedded binary operations like backslash over and towards frac, it's actually changed the way that mathematicians speak, I think. Oh, sorry, I did two in there. So my thesis is that this language has very much escaped the tech world, whatever you think that is, and sort of has a life of its own. And, well, how do I prove that? How can you prove these things? But more importantly, perhaps, what are the consequences of it? So, new panel game. These are the sort of quotes I've heard even this week. Sorry about the quotes at the end not coming out. Are they? Are they correct or not? I can't see. They are correct. Oh, good. Okay. I'm a greengrocer. What do you expect? I do remember spotting that once. One's corrected. Thank you very much. Yeah, one's project colleagues are really supportive people. Okay. And I mean, people say that to me as if it's something good I've done, which has nothing to do with what LaTeX project has done, really. It's what other software people have done. Why are you asking where it goes? I don't care, as long as it does whatever I want to do at the time, basically, is what they're saying. That is almost a quote from a mathematician of about 20 years younger than me. So, I just wanted to add, we're not just talking about the many, many bits of software that absorb LaTeX and do something sensible with it, often far from typesetting, sometimes closely related. There's many things that are going the other way, and here the situation is unsatisfactory. As talking to Ross earlier today, the sort of LaTeX or tech code you get out when you do something like MathML, LaTeX is, well, it's pretty much useless for humans, and my thesis is that's actually one of its important things. He was doubtful about its use for doing any typesetting or anything as well, but... Well, I wanted to set the world on fire. More recently than my involvement with MathML, I've been around sort of people are trying to do state-of-the-art things in which computers actually really are sort of, in some sense, the software actually does mathematics in a more profound sense than mere computer algebra systems. And they're actually interested in actually, oh no, so are other people, like the, what's the project called? Math library, is it? Digital library for maths. Digital library for math, digital mathematical library, are interested in getting all kinds of old stuff into the computer. And the when you say, what do you mean by getting a mathematical technical document into a computer, they say, well, it's LaTeX. I mean, we mean a LaTeX document when we say a document in a computer. I mean, I'm not saying whether they're correct to take that line or not. I'm just saying that is the world we're living in. And so they've done quite a lot of work on looking at what you can do from scanning that will actually produce LaTeX for you. Then there's things that are giving people boxes where they can write what they like and going off and producing a LaTeX document for processing in various ways. And, I mean, more general, that last one refers to the technical term used by document engineers, which is the idea of taking anything that isn't structurally tagged and adding the tags. So coming back to the things that input LaTeX, is it really sensible, I'm asking, to support the idea that everybody can input LaTeX and writes their own parser and so on, or should we be confining our sales to say these two, or maybe even just the second, since LaTeX will be a absolutely splendid formatter and anything else you like for these things, I'm sure. So I think those are serious questions. I should probably have added the PDF plus stuff from Ross there as well, and I agonised about that. And I thought, no, I'll keep the controversy going. But one thing that's become clear in a lot of this stuff is that what the author actually puts into the LaTeX actually contains, partly by accident, partly on purpose, lots of information. I mean, pure information. I don't mean how to typeset it or anything like that, but pure information about what was in the author's head that you don't want to lose in some of these processes. So that seems to be an important principle if you're passing the stuff on to do something else with it. If you're just formatting it or something like that, that's not quite the same thing. And in fact, in particular, Ross was saying that he wants to put the LaTeX code into his documents for various purposes. So I'm coming back to the message I sort of gave last year, that a lot of this needs standardization. That doesn't mean this is LaTeX and this will always be LaTeX and you shall not do anything else. It means having forms of standard LaTeX or LaTeX profiles or something like that, so that we can talk about what's happening and so on. So, predictions, certainly not for 32 years. 10 years? 8 years if you insist on powers of two, I don't mind. Some beers involved, if you're still around in that number of years and I'm proved wrong. But I'm not going to be very precise, so there's not much danger of that. I am still owed a beer from saying in 1998 that the AMS would still be heavily involved in tech in 10 years' time. Not by Barbara. So it's, I'm looking at a language that's extensible. So as I'm looking at, I'm predicting that that will definitely still be around and flourishing, at least for the math stuff. But as I was suggesting, possibly also as a more general thing for real authors to get to grips with structural markup. As Alan Hernig said, it's the data that's important for, well, he was talking about actual publishing, book publishing exercise, but I think it's true for all information processing. And the important data in this, there's other data around, there's all the metadata and things, but the actual text, contents of the elements in the structured texts is important data and needs treating with a lot of respect. So I think look after the texts and it will look after you. Text or texts. It's a text in the sense of document, so it's a bit of a pun. Oh, sorry about that. So, and in order to nurture that data, I think you really need to nurture this language thing. It's a thing that has been more apparent to people dealing with natural language in some sense since UNICAD came along, where there was a tendency to say that we'll just look at the code values and we'll know what sort of language this is in any sense you might. But I think they've really decided that that doesn't work. You do need to know more about what the language is and what it's trying to do to actually do anything useful with a Unicode text string. And again, this needs standardization. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. Do you have any questions? Okay, wait for the microphone. That's Nelson in the back there.
It usually is.
Yeah. The problem of translation that we've talked about this afternoon is an important one. It comes up over and over again in computer science, not just in document markup. Sure. In the field of symbolic algebra, we have a handful, six or so, fairly widely used symbolic algebra systems, and we can't go back and forth between them. And the answer is, why can we not? And sorry, the question is, why can we not? And the answer is that these are not really well defined. I've discussed with Don in the past the fact that tech really does not have a proper grammar. The meaning of tech primitives and LaTeX really is defined by the implementation, not by a specification of what they're to do. And I have a fairly strong view that if we're going to make progress in this problem, first of all, we have to make these tools rigorous, and that means defining them with a proper grammar that's machine parsable and has an explicit meaning. If we don't do that, we're going to be fighting this battle forever of being unable to translate. And it isn't just translate in one direction. We really ought to be able to make a round trip. You should be able to start with a LaTeX document, go to LaTeX, to XML, to SGML, and come all the way back to LaTeX and get something that produces an identical output. And you cannot today.
I think that was a statement. Yes, I agree with all but the last statement. I'm not that keen on the importance of round tripping, as one of my colleagues keeps telling me I should be. But I'm quite happy to discuss this elsewhere.
You say that we need to standardize these things, but could you comment on how you see that standardization happening, or in what sort of form?
Yeah, I mean, I said something about this a year ago thing. What I see is, I'll confine myself to the maths stuff at the moment, a definition of what you might certain levels of mathematical completeness, as it were, possibly in that case, rather than just one standard. And so the standards are not things that you necessarily enforce on anybody, but that people can refer to when they say, oh, my translator copes with this level of LaTeX, if you like, plus I've done the things from this package, or, I mean, I'm not too precise about that, exactly what, how you structure the different things, but I think it does need more than one standard. And some of those might then turn into more rigorous published standards if they do help to solve the problem that all these translation people and so on have.
I thought there was something intrinsically, mathematically satisfying in a round trip. Why do you not see that?
I think that's probably why I react so badly to the colleague who keeps saying that, because that seems to be his reasoning as well. I mean, I'm very good at doing. No, I'm very good at doing. I'm very happy doing nice theoretical, complete, orthogonal mathematical things, but I don't actually use them when I'm doing practical computing. I do use lots of mathematical ideas, but not those ones.
I've been trying to relate your presentation to LaTeX 3. Does this correspond more or less to where LaTeX 3 is aiming, or will there still be a LaTeX 3 working like LaTeX as we know it, accepting tech control sequences with backslashes and all that, and giving PDF output?
I should have started with a disclaimer. I forgot. This is not the official view of any LaTeX project team at all. LaTeX 3 is an interesting subject to discuss and should be discussed a lot in the next 24 hours, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to say something, Frank?
I was just sitting there and thinking, well, I'm not sure it's not all wrong.
Uh-huh.
Aren't we here after 30 odd years, I mean, thinking about LaTeX, the language, which is not 32 years, I guess, precisely because of that nice, not fully rigorously defined standard, because all standards that I know, they after a while, they simply kill their children. And roughly, I think, one of the big advantages, in some sense, is that it is a near standard with enough, in the past, with enough flexibility to further evolve without somebody being able to say, well, but you are not corresponding to what has been defined in this standard here. And I'm not quite sure whether that actually brought things forward. I'm just... Yeah. So my gut feeling to what was said.
I completely agree. It's the short answer to that.
May I add one very simple consideration to it? We are all talking in English. Somebody talk better, somebody like me worse. But what I wanted to say is that there is no such thing as either ISO or ANSI standard for English language. And there is a reason for it, because if there were a standard, we probably wouldn't be able to express what we want. And when I talk, when I hear people talking about changing standard for representing mathematics, the problem is that it must be flexible because it's changing.
Oh, on that wonderful dynamic note, maybe we can finish things up. We're going to head to a question and answer period. But yes, right. Thanks, speaker.